Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Let's talk about this. I think it's an important time of year to do this because unfortunately, losing our parents falls into the natural order of things, doesn't it? And it will happen to all of us at some stage in our lives, and fingers crossed, we'll be at an age where, however bad the feeling of loss is, hopefully we won't feel like we've been robbed. Well, Liz Gleason is an experienced psychotherapist and educator in the field of grief and loss, and she joins me now to speak about how to cope with the loss of a parent as an adult. Liz, you're very welcome to the show. Good morning.
Good morning, Jennifer.
Is there any age where losing a parent is easier to manage for a person?
There really isn't any age where it gets easier. And I think there's a bit of a myth that the older we get in life, we cope with grief better. But it is a myth. You know, how we cope with grief depends on such a myriad of factors, and age really isn't one of them.
We kind of expect, I would say, through personal experience, we expect older people, adults, to cope better with that loss of a parent and to kind of quickly bounce back to normality, don't we?
It's another myth, Jen. Mm-hmm. It's like the stages of grief. There are no stages of grief. And we all think there are. People, as they grow older, don't necessarily cope with loss better than when we're younger. We know from research that as we age, we've less and less social contacts. So it can actually have a profound impact to lose a partner or somebody we love as we get older in life, because we're much more reliant on them than when we're younger and we have a much broader social network.
Now, they do say everyone grieves in their own way, don't they?
Yeah.
But professionally speaking, are there only a certain amount of common grieving journeys, so to speak?
Everybody really wants to understand grief and how we grieve
why
we do it. And it's so hard to box it in. And, you know, back to those stages of grief that don't exist. Mm-hmm. We'd love a beginning, a middle and an end, but there just isn't, you know, a prescription at all. However, you know, we do know from research that people have similar patterns. And we know that, like, you know, if we were to talk about tasks of grief rather than stages of grief, we know that one of the tasks of grief is to accept the reality of the loss. We can know that somebody has died, but it can feel so surreal for a long period of time, and our life can become unrecognizable to ourselves, because we don't learn just from information. We don't learn from someone telling us, here's a fact. We learn from experience. And so often we have to experience that loss over and again before we really accept it's real. Like, you'll hear people say all the time, I just can't believe it. It feels so surreal. This doesn't feel like my life. It feels like a movie. It's because our brain needs to fully adapt and lay down new maps for this new world without the person we love in it. And that's a complicated psychological process which most people have to go through. Now, can you skip that? You can't really, but for example, if you're anticipating the loss of somebody, you're already going through the grieving process. You're already, you know, preparing for what the world might look like without that person. It doesn't make you immune to feeling the loss or feeling the grief, but you can start that process earlier, if you like, and it can be easier to accept that reality. So we know that that's one of the tasks of grief. And then grieving is another task, to feel the pain of that loss. You know, we have to grieve. There's no way around it or over it or under it. We have to allow ourselves to feel the pain of the loss. It's normal. It's natural. It's good. It's an adaptive response to loss, to cry, to feel the emotional pain, to flounder a little bit. We have to move towards it.
Now, this might sound cruel, but is it easier if your relationship was challenging or difficult with your parents?
It's really interesting. We tend to think that the more we love someone, the difficult the grieving journey is going to be. And, you know, personally, I really dislike all these memes that say the more you love, the more you grieve, because we're kind of giving people a message there that if you're not suffering or grieving, maybe you didn't love them, you know, which is not the case. Actually, it can be far less complicated to lose someone that we dearly love, that we'd a really good relationship with. We tend to have fewer regrets.
Okay.
We tend to feel the love, to feel the connection. Sure, we feel the pain, we miss them, but we tend to really thrive on the fact of having been loved by somebody wonderful. When we don't have that relationship with our parents, because not everybody is fortunate
sure.
enough to have been deeply loved or have a great parent, it can complicate things. It can make it really difficult to resolve, you know, in our own hearts and heads. We can be filled with regrets or guilt or remorse or if-onlys. And we know that that can make grief a little bit harder for people.
Do we ever really lose the idea that a parent is someone who is supposed to look after us? I mean, do we end up feeling like we have lost a caregiver, even if we're adults?
I really think so. You know, I read an article recently about a 90-year-old woman who moved into a nursing home to be with her 72-year-old son. I think, no, I've got children and that made me cry. I thought, is there no getting out of this ever? But it's true. I think once we hit that parent role and we're in that parent role for our children, age doesn't matter. You know, we maintain that role throughout our lives. And I think parents are... You know, we have that oxytocin connection if we're lucky, that no other relationship can parallel, actually. And our parents are like our, if we're lucky enough, they're like our anchors, our touchstones. They're the consistent in our life. They're the people who will always forgive us, who know us unconditionally and love us unconditionally. It's a big loss to lose that. You know, I was 32, 33 when my mother died. And I remember a friend saying to me about a month later, no one will ever love you as much as your mother does. And I remember thinking, gosh, that's a cold, true fact. I have to go through the rest of my life now, maybe not knowing that unconditional love to that degree ever again. So it is a profound loss for many people.
A lot of texts coming in on 51552. Liz, somebody just texts in saying, Jen, I loved my father more than anything, but when he died suddenly, I was happy that he went the way he did. It was just before the lockdown started in 2020, and I knew he was so fearful of COVID that I would have just watched him fade away. I miss him every day still, but I'm happy he's at peace.
Yeah, beautiful. How somebody dies can really impact how we grieve.
Okay.
And I think, you know, we all have to make meaning out of our loss. Well, many of us have to make meaning out of our loss to sort of come to terms with it and accept it. And that caller obviously has done that. It does make a difference. You know, my father died during COVID also. And I was just so grateful that he didn't have COVID. He was at home. I knew he was dying. I was with him. Mm-hmm. I was able to avoid all of those regrets. Say all the I love you, spend the time with him. It really had a profound impact on how I grieved afterwards. So that's a lovely text from your caller.
It's a lesson to us all, really. You know, if you know, we're all going to go through this absolutely in our lives, but the having the no regrets thing is important because, you know, your grieving process will be more difficult, you know, if you do have those regrets or unfinished business or things you wanted to say. That must make it very hard to move on with your life and, you know what I mean, and grieve. Another texter says, I lost my mum over 5 years ago to cancer. She only lasted a week after we found out she had cancer. I also had a very sick baby who required major surgery. He was 3 months old when she died and I was diagnosed with postnatal depression a week before she died. I was 28 and I can't explain how difficult it was. And honestly, I still feel the same pain as I did then. Is that common as well? People still, I mean, they say time is a great healer and it's one thing you always say at funerals and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, is it common that people still feel that immense pain?
It's probably more common than it should be.
Okay.
You know, that caller, I'm so sorry, she went through two major stresses. And if we're to look at bereavement as a major stress, which it is, what it impacts us physically in a really profound way. And then also giving birth to a baby who's unwell is a profound stress. And if that's not, you know, properly dealt with in the body, if we don't get a chance to talk about that, to have it acknowledged, to be able to grieve, you know, both of those losses, because they, you know, loss doesn't always involve a funeral or a hearse. Mm-hmm. You know, there's lots of ambiguous losses where something is lost but nobody has died. We need our losses acknowledged, and we need to be able to process them. And most of us can do that sort of just generally with family and friends. We don't need professional help. But maybe when there's accumulation of losses or bereavement overload, such as that caller with two profound life events happening, maybe we're part of the 40% that do need a little bit of extra professional help.
Okay.
We do know that 10% of the population may develop prolonged grief disorder. And this is just, it's nobody's fault. It just happens often when there's been a series of losses together, or something shocking has happened, or somebody has died unexpectedly. It can happen to women more than men. It can happen with an out-of-time loss. And about 10% of the population don't process their loss or learn to live with it or learn to integrate it. And the volume when we first lose someone can be really high, and gradually it goes down, maybe coming up for Christmas or coming up for birthdays. But with prolonged grief disorder, it's like the volume stays stuck up there. And, you know, there is help for that as well. It's never, ever, ever too late to process a loss that you've had 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And I would say, if it's impacting your daily life and how you're functioning, do seek help, which is different to grief enduring. Grief endures. We don't get over it. We don't move on from it. We learn to carry it and live with it and be with it in our lives. But if that's not happening, if we're not learning to carry it and be with it, and it's impacting us, our sleep or our relationships, how we are at work, then that's a really good time to seek support from someone who's grief trained.
If there's any advice you can give to us now about just being able to handle the loss of a parent, what would you say?
And I'm so cautious about giving advice, you know, because we're all so different. But I'll say what works for me and what I've seen the patterns evolve. Nature is a wonderful healer. To get out into nature, to feel something bigger than you. You know, when your grief feels unbearable and unmanageable, sometimes to get out onto a mountain or into the forest and be somewhere that's bigger than your grief can really help. All the usual things like trying to get sleep, exercising, we can feel really vulnerable. And when we're vulnerable, most of us withdraw from friends. And actually, that's a real shame, because connecting with other people is one of our biggest protective factors. Even though they can say the wrong thing, try and let people be there. Try and let them in and be around us. And also make space for grief. We try to forget about it or distract ourselves or avoid it because we think grief is a bad thing and a negative thing. And it isn't. It's simply part of being human. It's normal and adaptive and good and healthy to cry, to grieve, to experience the pain of loss. Ironically, it can help us feel better when we move towards it rather than away from it.
A lot of texts in. I just want to read out a couple. Morning, Jen. I lost my son unexpectedly 4 years ago. He was only 36. Then 6 weeks later, my mom passed away. And this was unexpected too. I was so numb from my son's death. I actually don't remember my mom's funeral. Now, you said previously with something like that, a series of deaths or something unexpected, maybe professional help is the way to go with that, would you say?
I think it can be so lonely and isolating, yeah. Jen, that to have a space where, you know, and unfortunately we have to pay for it usually, to have a space where we know we can just be open, honest, express our grief without judgment is essential. Maybe we've got friends or family we can do that with. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people feel, I've done it enough, I've burdened them enough, and they just want to pay somebody, you know, or join a group, a bereavement group, where there's no boundaries to that.
Talking,
feeling it. Yeah. And like I said, it's never too late to process a loss.
That's a really interesting thing that you said there. I've never heard anybody say that. It's never too late. It could be a death that happened 5 years ago, 2 years ago, 20 years ago. It's never too late to process that grief.
You know, I share a quick story here. I was in Galway about a month ago giving a talk about children's grief. And what was really interesting, you know, we expected it to be parents coming along who'd lost a spouse and they wanted to know how to support their children. Probably a third of the audience were adults over the age of 50, over the age of 60, who were bereaved as children. And that bereaved child is still so alive in them. And one woman, the message came to me via someone else, said that for the first time in 60 years, she said she felt like she'd had this barbed wire with a lock around her heart. And as she was listening to the experience of childhood bereavement and having her experience acknowledged and validated, she could feel that melt away for the first time ever. So it is never, ever too late to get support. You know, grief has, it's lifelong. It changes us. Mm-hmm. It's not something we go through and then we bounce back and we're back to our old selves. You know yourself, when you have a baby, that changes you profoundly. Life is never the same again. Mm-hmm. And losing someone we love is the same. Life is never the same again. We can be okay. We can have good lives full of joy, but it's different.
It's different.
Yeah, we have a new different experience.
If people want or need more help, where can they get in contact with you?
Well, my website is shapesofgrief.com. I have a lovely podcast called Shapes of Grief, and it was sort of to acknowledge this common humanity. You know, grief is something we will all go through at some stage. And I felt that if we give people a platform just to share their stories, just really normal people, they're not celebrities or well-known people, just really normal people.
That's good, because we're sick of listening to celebrities, to be honest with you. So normal people sharing normal their
people
stories.
Just sharing it raw. Here's what happened to me. Mm-hmm. Here's what it was like. And here's how I coped. And I think, you know, when you're listening to somebody speak for an hour, you're going to get one or two tools from that conversation that might apply to you. And I think it's really important to listen to other people's experiences, because that's how we learn. And essentially, grieving is a learning process.
Yeah.
If we've never done it before, we don't know how to do it. We don't know what's normal. It can be really shocking. When loss is sudden, it's like someone takes a sledgehammer to our nervous system. And it can be really shocking, the depth of feeling. And we don't know how to manage it in many cases. So we have to learn, how do I be now in the world? How can I be with this?
There's no going back.
There's no going back. You know, life is different. How do I navigate this? And we have to learn from each other.
Interesting text in here. I'll just read this last one. Thank you so much for getting involved with the show on 51552, by the way. Hi, ladies. My father passed away years ago. He was an alcoholic. And when he passed, I felt relief, because I was concerned about him all the time. Is it right for me to feel like this?
Yeah, and I'm sure relief is just one of the feelings there. You know, if you have an ambivalent relationship with a parent when they're alive, you're probably going to have an ambivalent relationship with your grief also. There's no right or wrong. It just is. And actually, I'm about to release a podcast episode that looks at this, when someone we love has an addiction, or they're alcoholic, or they're living with mental health issues that are really profoundly affecting our day to day. We're living with that ambiguous loss constantly, and there can be tremendous relief when that person dies.
Lots of texts in with lots of different feelings being mentioned. Jealousy. Somebody said they're jealous of people who still have their parents. It's an awful feeling. Relief. Someone else said, my mom died in 2019. I found her dead. I got such peace, because she always said she wanted to go out like a light, and that she did. So many different ways of, and everybody's so different. But there is no going back. You have to move forward, and it is going to be different. You're never going to go back to the way you were, because life is different.
I love that your callers are calling in with all this range of emotion, because another myth, we think that grief is a sad time after someone we love dies and then we get over it and we move on. And it just couldn't be further from the truth. You know, for many people, anxiety is huge. Relief is huge. Gratitude is huge. Devastation, regret, remorse, it's all there. We feel acutely whatever that feeling is when someone close to us dies, not necessarily a loving connection either. A myriad of emotions arise, and they're usually very, very heightened.
Really interesting stuff. So people can find your podcast wherever they get their podcast, Spotify, all that kind of stuff. Very good.
Shapes of Grief, yeah, absolutely.
Shapes of Grief is the website as well if you want to get in contact and find out more. Liz Gleeson, thank you so much for popping into the studio. If you want to send in any text, we're here to listen. We're here to read 51552, and we will be back with more after these.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare. Looking after you always.